So for Coach's Corner today, we're going to talk about goals and specifically unattainable ones. Most of our financial planning discussions begin with goals. We ask clients to describe to us their hopes and their dreams. And it's often one of the more rewarding parts of our process is hearing these conversations begin that way and then seeing those goals achieved. However, it doesn't always work out that way. Sometimes goals are unattainable for any number of reasons. I recently had a conversation with a client who has a particular goal relating to real estate, wants to sell her home and move somewhere else. But her husband just completely disagrees. It's not what he wants for a lot of reasons. So those are some of the situations that we're presented with, right? Partners not necessarily agreeing, but then there's the types of goals that are just not feasible from a financial standpoint. So today we'll kind of talk about how we handle those situations, and then ultimately how it ends up kind of moving forward.
I liked your commentary on this. I mean, the goals part is very rewarding. It's one of my favorite parts. I love being in one of those first meetings and asking people like what their goals are. And it's amazing how many people struggle with it. Oh, I mean, yeah. they really don't have, or it's like, I want to get really great returns. Okay, well, we have to really kind of get more granular about your goals. Like what, you know, do you really want to accomplish? I want to have $30,000 in my kids' 529 plan. I want to have $1 million by the time I'm 50. I mean, just, I want to go to Banff or wherever that place is that you guys were talking about the other day. You know, I want to do date night with my partner 3 times a month and be able to afford that. I mean, that's, I love hearing people kind of rattle through that stuff. I can remember with one younger couple that we met with, when they do that exercise and they really vibe off each other. I mean, they actually like high-fived each other. But sometimes we do have those people that come in and it's like, I want to retire when I'm 60. And it's like, they have no money. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of times where we have to kind of be that bad guy or bad person and say, you know, it's going to be really difficult unless you change your lifestyle, unless you save X, Y, and Z way more than you're doing now. And even then, it's going to be difficult. And I feel like it's a flip of a coin. I don't know how you guys feel, that those clients will either respond receptively or we just don't hear from them again.
Yes, I agree. I think the stage of the relationship with the client matters a ton, right? Oftentimes when we start these engagements, the goals that are just not doable, like that's where I think the relationship can pretty much end, right? Where it's like, if you're not telling me what I want to hear, I don't want to pay you for your advice, even though that's not how it should work. I think there's other examples where we've had experience with people and while we're still looked at as maybe the bad guy, right? The bearer of bad news or not so good news. They value our advice. They're coming to us with, you know, the idea or the hope that we can fill that role of not just being yes people. And it sucks when it's relating to things they want to accomplish, but we've also been doing this long enough to sometimes be able to spin it, right? Okay, maybe it's not the house in Florida that you can afford, but you know what? You could realistically rent for a month there every winter, right? Is that sufficient in making you feel like we're, you know, there's some sort of element of what you're trying to accomplish? So I think the type of relationship, the standing of the relationship that we have matters a little bit in terms of the outcome.
Yeah, I think it's funny. Sometimes you with people's unrealistic goals, you say to yourself, how do you not know this, that this is not possible? How, like, what facts are you operating with here? Because it's very evident, right? If you just look at the conditions on the field and like somebody who says, I want to retire in 2 years and they have nowhere near enough, or in some cases they'll have done like the spreadsheet jockey thing where they just plug in numbers with an assumed, you know, withdrawal rate and return, and it works out. And it's like, no, that's not
life. That's not reality. The market's not going to deliver 8% a year every year from now till you know, you're 90. And that's in fact, it could be way, way, way worse than that. And let's show you. And this is why, like, retiring at 60 is idiotic. Right?
That's what I get a lot of. Like, I can think of a specific client right now who, when we met them, they were, I mean, I remember it very clearly. We have $1 million. We know we need like 40,000 a year from that. I mean, I know if I just divide $1 million by 40, it's like 25 or 30 years. And I was looking at them like, it just doesn't work that way. I mean, unless, first of all, you're not indexing the 40 for inflation. The markets don't go up in a straight line. And they had a very difficult time wrapping their heads around that concept. I mean, I guess I could have said, yeah, sure, you don't need us. Just put the million in your money market and you'll probably run out of money by the time you're 78. I don't think that would have been very suitable for me to do that. So I get that a lot, that just they don't really have conceptually how the numbers work and how this whole like plan works.
Yeah, and I mean specifically when it's someone who's absolutely reliant on whatever they've saved and invested to generate the income. You know, it's it's funny how different, there's really, to me, two very different types of people that we work with, right? It's someone who we're helping figure out the income plan under all kinds of different scenarios and plan B and plan C and all that. And it's very like labor intensive and on an ongoing basis when things change. And then there's the other that never touches it, mm-hmm. never will, doesn't have to, unless there's some, you know, calamity. Like the difference between those two client types is like just night and day. I mean, it's kind of like being Captain Obvious here, but getting back to the unrealistic goals, it's to me, it's always the former. It's the one who's going to be really putting pressure on their whatever they've saved and want to do too much or spend too much, or just can't. You're not going to make all these, you're not going to jump through all these hoops in the perfect way that you think you are.
We have another client that has like a couple million dollars, like $3 or $4 million, and one of their goals is like we don't want to see it continue to grow and have $5, $6, $7 million when we die. We want to be able to use it while we're alive and gift to our kids. Where do you draw that line where it's like that's kind of an unrealistic goal? I got to make sure you don't run out of money and don't give away too much money at first. Would you consider that like an unrealistic goal as well? And how do you try to balance that one?
I think I wouldn't say it's unrealistic. I think it's got to be approached in a very fluid fashion, right? It's not something that we can by any means guarantee will happen on any sort of regular basis. But okay, if that's the goal, we want to help facilitate the best we can when markets are killing it. Like, yeah, those are going to be the years where you gift and you see your goal kind of happen. And then there's going to be other years where we got to be a little bit tighter to the vest and we have to be a little bit more conservative. And I think for people like that who want to give away their money, as much as we advocate for it, we have to remind them that they're our priority. So we have to provide guardrails around just giving it away.
Yeah.
And there's going to be, hopefully over a long retired time horizon, a lot of years where they get to do that pretty freely and without a ton of concern. And then there's going to be a few years in between all of those where, no, you can't write the kids a $20,000 check for Christmas this year, right? It's like, you can't do it. So I think as long as if expectations are maybe managed in a sense that, we hear you. You can do this. It just might not be in the very kind of in the box way you're thinking. We just have to be a little bit more creative about it.
Yeah. And when it comes to kind of unrealistic goals, I think people get anchored on those things. Like the one client I was referring to, they probably in the back of their minds were always like, we just got to get to $1 million.
Yeah.
And then they got there, but that took like 20, 30 years. And a lot has changed over that time. And then the other client who's like, I want to move into that neighborhood or that retirement community. Okay, you just don't have enough money. And you can't just be anchored on that. You need to set some realistic goals from the beginning and engage with someone who can make sure that you can attain them or not attain them, and then be honest with you that you just can't do it.
Yeah, and I think too, it's like there's got to be some self-awareness, right? Like it can't just be, you can't be surprised every time you present something that's off the wall that people that were like, well, no, if you couldn't afford this, then you probably can't afford something that costs the same amount of money in a different location or in a different version of that, right? Like I think hopefully through education and through our ongoing process, people get a sense for, okay, like, where do I fit? Where do some of these extra things, you know, come into play? What of these really makes sense? Because as much as it's our job, we're talking about adults, right? Who have to take some responsibility for the way that they think about their money. And we're not magicians, right? We can't just like make shit happen.
Right.
So I think the majority of the responsibility is on us, but there's got to be some self-awareness on them.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on.